All right. Good morning, Fritzberger and bloodandfaith.com. It's Sunday morning, May 21st, and I've said some provocative things recently, and I wanted to talk about them. One of the things that I've said is that we have invented a new religion. We've invented a new religion. It's not, in my opinion, faithful to what the Word of God says. We've invented a religion that the world loves. Everybody loves Christianity. Oh, Christianity is great. Judaism is great. Islam is great. Everything's great. Buddhism, Taoism. And Christianity is just thrown in there as another slop religion. And I think this is a problem. I think the church has done what it can, essentially, to make Christianity, and I say that, I use that term loosely, popular with the world and inoffensive to the synagogue of Satan, and inoffensive to the unbelievers, and inoffensive to virtually anyone and everyone. It's not a threat. And that's the biggest tell right there. Christianity, as currently defined in 2023, is not a threat. It's not a threat to Satan. It's not a threat to the Antichrist. It's not a threat to the seed of the serpent. It's not a threat to anybody. In fact, the church does everything it can to get along with and support that which Jesus Christ referred to as the synagogue of Satan. Those who call themselves Jews. I think I mentioned before that the term Jews and Judaism, that Jews, the Jews of today didn't call themselves Jews until, mid-1800s. They called themselves something else. And then they began to adopt this iconography and this identity as somehow the lost people of Jacob, renamed Israel, with roots in the promised land. And none of that's true. None of that's true. That's all false. It's all a big fat lie. They're identity thieves. And if you don't believe me, believe Jesus Christ. He said, hey, they're not real Jews. They're liars. And they're of Satan's synagogue. And we know how that the Khazarians, in a territory very much, very similar to what is in the area of Ukraine right now, converted to the Talmud. They did not convert to Abraham, Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They did not convert to the God of Moses. They converted to the Talmud. Rabbis came in there and convinced them that this was a good religion. They brought in some Christian priests. They brought in some Muslim imams, and they brought in some Talmud teachers, rabbis that taught out of the Talmud. And this group of people, over 1,000 years ago, converted to Talmudism. And it's only in the last 150, 200 years that they started saying, hey, we're going to start identifying as Jews in Israel and with some sort of roots over there in the Middle East. The whole thing's a fraud. The whole thing's fake. It's theologically, I stand on what Jesus Christ said. Hey, they're not real Jews. They're false Jews. They're of the synagogue of Satan. Are there real Jews? I think there's the lost 10 tribes. There's maybe the lost 12 tribes. James thought there was the lost 12 tribes. The 12 tribes dispersed abroad. Where did they go? They went to Europe. There's no doubt in my mind that they went to Europe, the vast majority of them. That's why the gospel's sent to Europe. That is why the gospel's sent to Europe, to find these lost 12 tribes. Did they intermix? Did they intermarry? Or did they remain separate groups who we now identify as different ethnic groups, different nation states in Europe? I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. But there's no doubt in my mind that the gospel was sent to Europe. But that's not even what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to get into the idea that we've invented a new religion. And to do that, you compare what pastors say today with what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. Matthew 10, verse 33, therefore every one of you who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. Now you think, well, what's the big deal? Oh, I'm a Jesus person, I'm a Christian. They're like, oh, they give you a little golf clap. Today you can do that in good sense because, like I said, nobody cares about the Christians. It's a feeble, weak ideology. And it's unfamiliar with the identity of Jesus Christ in the Holy Scriptures. When Jesus Christ said this, you literally had your life at risk to confess Jesus Christ. You're betraying the Jews and you're betraying the Romans. You don't have that anymore. So people can say, hey, I'm a Christian or I'm a Judeo-Christian. There's no risk there. Can you say that when literally your head is on a chopping block? And here's what happens. Verse 33. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Well, how do we know, deny Jesus Christ? We deny his word. We deny his word. And I think the churches, I think pulpits are full of pastors that literally deny the word of God, deny the word of Jesus Christ. And I started a movement on Gab. Okay, that's a little exaggeration. But I said, hey, fire your pastor. I put a post out there. Hey, you need to fire your pastor. If your pastor is ashamed of Jesus Christ, that's the biggest disqualification for being a pastor or a preacher. It's not because he had a beer. It's not. That's not it. It's not because you smoke a cigar or cigarette. It's you deny the word of God. You deny the words of Jesus Christ. A man in a pulpit that's ashamed and will not preach the words of Jesus Christ doesn't belong in the pulpit. And you need to fire that man. And I don't mean saying the scriptures that the Antichrist approves of, because that's what we've become as a church. That's what we've become of as a Christian church. We become a people who say, look, we don't want to offend the Antichrist who's in the world today. If John could say the Antichrist was in the world 2,000 years ago, it's in the world today. But the church has these blinders on and pretends there's no Antichrist yet. So it doesn't even fight. It's just like, we don't have to worry about anything. The Antichrist isn't here yet. Besides, when he shows up, we're just going to get raptured away. I'll tell you what, if you were the enemy, that would be the greatest deception to put over the church. If you were Satan himself, that would be the greatest thing to convince the church of, that you don't need to fight now, that it's God's will that the evil takes over, and that you're just going to be raptured away from everything. So you give your little giddy clap and happiness because it's getting worse and worse and worse. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. He's the deceiver of the whole world. I talked about that a couple podcasts ago. So the church is happy to go out there and say things that don't offend the seed of the serpent. For example, mentioning the seed of the serpent. Pastors won't teach about the seed of the serpent. They won't teach about the brood of vipers. They will not identify the brood of vipers as the seed of the serpent from Genesis 3:15. And they won't say who the brood of vipers was and remains to be, remains today. They're ashamed of the word of God. I don't know how else to put it. Pastors are ashamed of the word. They won't preach the word of God. And if the identity of the Antichrist is those who reject the Father and the Son, well, who rejects the Father and the Son if not those who call themselves Jews? And then, you know, pastors make all kind of excuses. Well, a lot of people reject the Father and said, okay, call them all Antichrist then. Well, that's offensive. Okay, we'll keep going. We'll keep going. Do not think that I came to bring a peace, but I came to bring a sword. Gee, that's Jesus Christ. Don't think I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And all these Christian pastors, they want to be peacemakers, and they're out there trying to make peace between the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians. And Jesus Christ is right here saying, hey, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Oh, no, we're peacemakers. And I'm firmly convinced that we've invented a new religion. Call it Judeo-Christianity if you want. We have these traditions of men that override what Jesus Christ said. And we've abandoned the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. We've invented Jesus Christ 2.0 because we don't like him. He's racist. He's sexist. He's homophobic. He's utterly anti-Semitic. Jesus Christ is utterly anti-Semitic according to the Jews, according to the false Jews, those who claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. They hate him. They'll tell you that. They know. They know that. They got more sense than these Judeo-Christians. But Jesus Christ said, how come the pastors want? If the pastor's afraid to say what Jesus Christ said boldly and proudly from the pulpit, they disqualify themselves. Fire your pastor. Who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Boy, don't we have a different thing there. Oh, just accept Jesus. Just accept Jesus, you'll have eternal life. There's no mention of a cross. There's no mention of a cross to pick up and follow. It is a great honor and privilege to serve Jesus Christ. It is a great honor and privilege to know Jesus Christ. It is a great honor and privilege to declare him and live as he is our monarch and our king. And I don't mean Jesus as he's the little guy that lives in my heart. and I believe in Jesus, and I treasure him in my heart. No, he's the monarch. He's the monarch of heaven and earth. He's the ruler of every nation. He's the king of every king. He's above Caesar. He's above the Sanhedrin. He's above the United States Constitution. He's above the government of the United States of America. That's Jesus as Lord right there. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to be discipling nations, not individuals, nations. Go forth and disciple the nations. And here we say, oh, we're going to disciple a few individuals. No, no, no. The Bible says, go disciple the nations, bring discipline to the nations. It doesn't say go disciple a few individuals over here and there. And I've told you before, the Holy Scripture talks about building nations, bloodlines that serve God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the nation that Moses led out of Egypt, nations. And the ancient nation of Israel was supposed to be an example to the other nations. It's not a personal religion. That's what I mean. We've invented a new religion that does not have a basis in the Holy Scriptures. We're supposed to disciple nations. Make nations bend the knee to Jesus Christ. Convert the nations to Jesus Christ. Is that Christian nationalism? Absolutely it is. That's what the Bible teaches. And Christian pastors, Christian churches denounce that. Oh, no, it's a personal religion, and he's our personal Lord and Savior. Well, that is true, but it's also true that he called us to disciple the nations and bring discipline to the nations. You can't throw out half of it. If you disciple the nations, you will get personal conversions. If you don't disciple the nations, you're not going to get personal conversions. We've proven that. As Christendom has abandoned Jesus Christ, the amount of personal conversion has gone down and down and down and down. Now we're being invaded by Antichrist peoples, encouraged by the most Antichrist of all peoples, those who murder Jesus Christ. I can hear the pastors now, you can't say that, it's anti-Semitic. Well, Jesus Christ is anti-Semitic then. Let's go through that. We'll get through that this morning a little bit. He who does not pick up his cross and follow me is simply not worthy of me. And if the people that hated Jesus Christ don't hate you, you need to look in the mirror and ask what your problem is. If the people that hated Jesus Christ don't hate your guts, what is your problem? And if the people that hate Jesus Christ are out there saying what a wonderful little person you are, that you're righteous among the Gentiles, and they're literally the synagogue of Satan, you've got a problem. Your pastor, fire your pastor, fire him. People want a rebellion. They want to rebel against anything, but they got to start cleaning their own house. Fire your pastor. I'm serious. Fire him. And get a man up there that'll say what Jesus Christ said. And you say, oh, well, I like my pastor. He's a good man. He's a moral man. He doesn't drink or smoke or fornicate or 500 other sins. And now he's like the Pharisees of old who are whitewashed tombs. They're beautiful. Look great on the outside. Hadn't had it all together. Yet their heart was not after Jesus Christ. It was not after Jesus Christ. It was after some other god, some other religion. They served Satan himself. Matthew 11, verse 6. Fritz, what you're saying is offensive. It's so offensive. Jesus would never do that. Okay, here's Jesus Christ. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And I've been tried to be very specific on saying the things that are offensive that Jesus said. And the church won't do that. Church is literally ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, hey, blessed are those that aren't offended by me, offended by my words. And the church is literally, the pastors are ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. They won't preach them. Or if they do, they'll reinterpret them and say, well, it doesn't mean that. He said this, but he doesn't mean that. It means something else entirely. Because they're ashamed of what he said. And Jesus Christ warned. He said, listen, y'all are going to be ashamed of me. But blessed are those who are not ashamed of me and my words. Matthew 12, verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and they counseled, conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Okay? Who's the Pharisees? They're the Talmud teachers. They conspired on how they might murder and destroy Jesus Christ. Oh, that's anti-Semitic. Fine. If anti-Semitic is what the Bible teaches, I want to be anti-Semitic. And the church says, well, we don't want to be anti-Semitic, so we'll deny what the Holy Scriptures say. We'll reinterpret what the Holy Scriptures say. And they come up with this tradition of saying, Jesus is a Jew, Jesus is a Jew, Jesus is a Jew. And they don't say that because Jesus is a Jew. They say that to get along with the world, to be friends with the Jews. Those who call themselves Jews, who are not Jews at all, they're the synagogue of Satan. They don't say this to honor Jesus Christ. They do not say it to honor Jesus Christ. They say it to make nice with the people that call themselves Jews, but are not. They're Satan's seed. Oh, that's anti-Semitic. Fine. This is what I'm talking about when Jesus says, hey, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I show up with my father's holy angels. Blessed are those who are not offended by what I say. And you got all kinds of people out there offended by what Fritz Bergen is saying. But the issue is, if it's me saying it, yeah, please be offended. But if all I'm doing is saying what Jesus Christ said, and you're offended by it, then we got a problem. The church has got a problem. All right. Here's John. John's worth going through many, many times. In fact, this is a New American Standard Version, and it says, Words to the Jews. Now, that's the title of a section. But it's absolutely true that he's talking to the Jews. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him. The Jews. Who? The Jews. Who? The Jews. The Jews. The Jews. Oh, you can't talk about the Jews. You can't say anything about the Jews unless the Jews give you permission. Why do you bend the knee at the synagogue of Satan? Why do you bend the knee to the synagogue of Satan? Why do you obey the rules of the Jews, the rules of the Antichrist? Why do you obey the rules of the Antichrist? Who told you this? Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, the Jews, were grumbling about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. Jesus said, don't grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. 46, John 6, 46. And this is why I say, this is the exact scripture why I say that it was Jesus Christ that gave Moses the laws on the mount. It was Jesus Christ that spoke with Adam and Eve. It was Jesus Christ that spoke with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and Gideon. This is Jesus Christ. This is John 6, 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. All right? So Jesus says, look, nobody has seen the Father except me because I came from the Father. I'm the only one that ever has seen the Father, says Jesus Christ. Says Jesus Christ. Well, then who? When the Bible says that God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend, who's wrong here? Is the Bible wrong in Exodus or is the Bible wrong in John chapter 6? Is Jesus Christ lying in John chapter 6? If he said no man's seen the Father, yet Exodus 33 verse 11 says that Moses spoke with the Lord face to face as a man speaks with a friend. It's real explicit. It's not, oh, I saw God. I drank a fifth of whiskey and I saw God. No, it's no. As a man speaks with a friend face to face. It's very explicit. You can't uninterpret that. So who is he speaking to? And who's this God? The God is Jesus Christ. Church doesn't want to acknowledge that anymore. Church doesn't want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the creator. It's too big to swallow. We want Jesus Christ to be this nice little guy that died for our sins 2,000 years ago, and he rose from the dead, and he loves everybody and forgives everybody. Jesus Christ is literally God Almighty. 2,000 years ago, he incarnated. God incarnated as God in the flesh. Oh, I thought he was just a spiritual mentor and a nice teacher. No, he's God Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He's the God who gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And that's why in Matthew chapter 5, his very first sermon, Jesus Christ spoke to everybody. He says, do not think I came to do away with the Ten Commandments. Don't think I came to do away with the Law of the Prophets. Do not think that. And of course, the church teaches that. They say, well, that's the Old Testament. It doesn't apply anymore. Like I said, the church has come up with a different religion, an entirely different religion. But it's got no basis in the Holy Scriptures, no basis in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ said, do not think I came to do away with the Law or the Prophets. Anybody who teaches that will be least in the kingdom of heaven. And you got pastors all over the world saying, oh, it's the Law, it doesn't apply. It's the Old Testament, it doesn't apply. The New Testament replaced the Old Testament. And they have no idea what they're saying. They're ignorant. One section of Holy Scripture did not replace another section of the Holy Scriptures. And they act as if it didn't. Many Christians are deceived into that. They think that the Greek Scriptures replaced the Hebrew Scriptures. That is not true. Never been true. Jesus Christ didn't teach that. Neither did Peter, Paul, John, Stephen. None of them taught that. Like I said, we've come up with a whole new religion. Oh, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply. I've even had people say, if it's not in the red, it doesn't apply. Well, we'll get to some of the red. And then you get to the red, and they say, well, we don't like that. That's anti-Semitic. We can't handle the red. We don't want what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, we've invented a new religion. We're supposed to be bringing discipline to the nations and creating Christian nations. Nation is an ethnic group. The nation state should be based on a cohesive ethnic group. Why do I say that? Is that racist? Is that xenophobic? Hey, the example is ancient Israel. It was a cohesive ethnic group. They spoke the same tongue, had the same history, had the same experiences, and they lived in the same geographically coterminous area, same unified geographic area. Well, that's Fritz. You're xenophobic and you're racist and you're divisive. We're all the children of God. No, like I said, you've invented a new religion. You've invented an entirely new religion that's not based in the Holy Scriptures. Acts 17, verse 26, God Almighty determined the times and the boundaries of the different races, of the different ethnic groups, of the different nations. Oh, no, but that's wrong. Like I said, you're ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking, not my listeners, I'm speaking metaphorically to the evangelical church. Well, we don't want that. That sounds divided. We're all one in God. You've invented a new religion, I'm telling you. Not that anyone has seen the Father. So who did Moses talk to? He talked to Jesus Christ. Truly I say to you, he believes in me has eternal life. Then he goes on and he talks about, and he says, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down into heaven so that they may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came out of heaven. Anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. The bread also which I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh. When the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. Now, a good marketing manager would tell Jesus, you're crazy. You're nuts. You can't talk like that. Okay, you're just out of your freaking mind. Why are you talking like that, Jesus? Don't you know we need to convert people to you? Why do you tell people to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Are you kidding? Are you trying to drive these people away, Jesus? And I've said before, Jesus Christ never has bent over backwards to get people to follow him. Not once. Unlike the church, we'll give people money and free cell phones if they show up at church. We'll give them movie tickets, concert tickets, food, anything. Anything. Just show up at church. We beg you to come to church. We'll even give you free eternal life. Just show up and say this little prayer, sign this little thing, and we'll promise you you'll have eternal life. It's the selling of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it's no. Hey, look, you eat my flesh, drink my blood. I guess who's offended? Well, let's move on. John chapter 6. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Capernaum's way up north. Jesus Christ spent as little time in the land of the Jews as he could. He stayed away from Judea. So whether you define the Jew religiously, genetically, or geographically, he tried to stay out of there. He didn't like being down there in the land of the Jews. Capernaum's up north. Here, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Jesus, you're freaking us out. Now we think the Jews are right. We think you are crazy and have a demon. This is his own disciples saying this. And you wonder why the church today in 2023 abandons Jesus Christ and refutes Jesus Christ and denies Jesus Christ. And say, well, no, he didn't say that. He couldn't have said that because that's crazy talk. It's crazy talk. It's racist, sexist, and homophobic and anti-Semitic. It wasn't any different 2,000 years ago. Even his own disciples says, we can't handle this. And so the church today, we'll just reinvent what he said. Either we'll ignore it and bury it, or we'll reinterpret it to make it acceptable to us. But Jesus, conscious of his disciples, grumbled at him. He says, does this cause you to stumble? Jesus Christ has no interest in begging you or making it easy. Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there's some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray them. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one comes to me unless has been granted to him by the Father. As a result, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. As a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him. I've talked to people. They said, well, you know, I realize that the Bible is really sexist, so I just can't accept it anymore. Church grazed into church. Well, I can't accept it because it's sexist. And so the church is out there with their homosexual flag, rainbow flags, trying to deny that Jesus Christ was quote-unquote sexist. It's like, well, you're wasting your time. Why are you groveling before the Antichrist? Why are you groveling for the people that reject Jesus Christ? Because you're trying to remarket Jesus Christ. You're trying to make him acceptable to Satan's seed. And as a result, you're betraying Jesus Christ. This is why I say you need to fire your pastor. Fire the preacher. Get somebody in there that'll say what Jesus Christ said. Be proud of it. Say it loud. Say it proud. And let everybody call you demon-possessed and full of the devil and insane. Let them do that. That's exactly what they did to Jesus Christ. It's exactly what they did to Jesus Christ. He's insane and he has a demon. He's insane and he has a demon. He's insane and he has a demon. Over and over and over. He's insane and he has a demon. That's what they said to Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ. And they tried to murder him. He leads the people astray. Yeah, and what, how's it any different than 2,000 years later in 2023? Fritz, you're insane and you have a demon. You're insane and you have a demon, Fritz. You're racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. You can't be a Christian. Oh, Lord Jesus, please may the people that hate Jesus Christ hate me as well. Please. And if they don't, I'm doing something wrong. And if they're not calling me demon-possessed and insane, then I'm not following the Master. I'm not following Jesus Christ. Of course, nobody believes in demons anymore. And I don't know if they even believe in insanity anymore. So they call you these other words that take their place of it. They call you a Nazi, call you a racist, call you fascist, racist, sexist, anti-Semitic. If they're not calling you that, you need to have a real check and say, what's going on with my life? Am I so acceptable to Satan that Satan doesn't attack me? Is that what's going on? And if you have a church leader, if you have a pastor that the Jews love, you need to fire him and find a pastor that the Jews hate. Many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult saying. Verse 66, as a result, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Oh, if we get a pastor like that, the church will be empty and it'll be where everybody lives. Jesus Christ had the same problem 2,000 years ago. Many were not walking with him anymore. And that's why the preachers won't preach what Jesus Christ preached. People are going to walk away. Jesus Christ did not care if people walked away. Oh, but then we won't have the money. We won't have the money and the church might have to close. It's not a church. It's not a church anyway. It's a Judeo-Christian social club. If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ and his word, you don't, it's not the church of Jesus Christ. It's something else. It's something different. Fire that pastor. Get a new one, even if you're starting out with three people. All right, chapter 7. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee. Where's Galilee? It's way up north, far north as you could get, still being that sort of that land of Canaan. He stayed up in Galilee. He didn't want anything to do with the land of the Jews. He was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea. Some Bible translations translate that Jewry, no longer willing to walk in Jewry, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. That's what the Holy Scriptures say. The Jews were seeking to kill Jesus Christ. And you've got government agencies that are out there saying, oh, it's anti-Semitic to say that the Jews killed Jesus Christ. Well, and so so as a matter of government policy, they think it's their business to contradict the Holy Scriptures. Why? I'll tell you why. Guess who runs those organizations? Oh, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. The Jews were seeking to kill Jesus Christ. What makes you think anything's changed in 2,000 years? How come they don't hate you? All right, moving right along. John chapter 7, verse 18. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you carries out the law? None of you carries out the law. Moses gave you the law, but you don't carry out the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Said Jesus Christ in a red to the Jews. The crowd answered, you have a demon. I'm telling you. You're not saying the same thing about your pastor. What's going on? Fire your pastor. You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Jesus said, I did one deed and y'all marvel. For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so the law of Moses will not be broken. Are you angry with me that I made an entire man whole on the Sabbath? Don't judge with according to appearance, but according to your righteous judgment. Some of the people in Jerusalem are saying, is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Is this not the Bible over and over and over and over? The Jews are trying to kill Jesus. They're conspired to kill him, conspired to destroy him. Even the crowd are saying, yeah, this is the guy they're trying to kill. Pastors will say it's anti-Semitic to say that the Jews killed Jesus Christ. They contradict the Holy Scriptures. Fire that pastor. You want a rebellion against the Antichrist? Start in a pulpit. Fire your pastor. Why do you contradict Jesus Christ? To get along with the Jews? Anybody that says Jesus is a Jew, they're not saying that to honor Jesus Christ. They're not saying it to honor Jesus Christ. They're saying it so that they can honor the Jew, the false Jews that are of a synagogue of Satan. That's why they're saying it. It has nothing to do with honoring Jesus Christ. They're remarketing, rebranding Jesus Christ to make him acceptable to the Jews and putting themselves in a position of obeisance to the false Jews, to the synagogue of Satan. They've betrayed Jesus Christ, I'm telling you. Jesus Christ, for a little while I'm with you, and then I go away. Then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews then said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? He's not going to the dispersion among the Greeks, is he, to teach the Greeks? And this is the prophecy of the Jews as to where Jesus Christ was going to go. Through his disciples. Remember Ananias? He prophesied. He said, hey, it's good for one man to die for the nation as a prophecy. Well, right here, the Jews are prophesying again. He's not going to the Greeks, is he, to teach the Greeks? Yes, that's exactly where Jesus Christ went through his disciples after his resurrection, after Pentecost, after he filled them with the Holy Ghost. He went to the Greeks. Every scripture written since the resurrection is written in Greek. It's not written in Hebrew. Hebrew's abandoned. It's replaced. There's no more Hebrew, none, zero, zip, nada. It's all in a European tongue. It's all in Greek. He's not going to the Greeks, is he, to teach the Greeks? Yes, that's exactly right. You're prophesying. You're prophesying, just as Ananias prophesied that it was good for one man to die for the nation. You're prophesying that Jesus Christ is going to Europe through his disciples. Oh, that's ethnocentric. That's white supremacy. Why do you guys bend the knee to these terms that are made up by the synagogue of Satan? Literally, they're made up by the synagogue of Satan. And you bind yourself in submission to them because you're not brave enough to embrace literally what Jesus Christ said. You're terrified of the Antichrist. I'm telling you, this is why I say we've invented a new religion. It's got nothing to do with the Holy Scriptures. But like those who call themselves Jews today, oh, they got the trinkets around. You go to their synagogue and you open up the hidden little box there, and oh, there's a picture of the Ten Commandments in there. Keep them hidden. Open it up at the beginning and close it up at the end. They'll read out of read out of Isaiah. But their real book is the Talmud. They'll all tell you that. Their book is the Talmud. They keep the prophets and the law around just for, you know, pretty picture's sake. They don't believe in Moses. Jesus Christ himself said they don't believe in Moses. He says, if you would have believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. All right. John chapter 8. I don't think I'll teach about the adulterous woman because this is a whole, it's fascinating. But bottom line is this, Jesus Christ never said don't stone her. Okay, he didn't say don't stone her in contradiction to the law. He didn't say that. He just says, yeah, okay, stone her. Start with the one who's not sinned. And the old people leave first because the older we get, the more we realize how really corrupt we are, I think. That's my opinion. That's my opinion of myself. All right, moving on to John chapter 8. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, you're truly disciples of mine. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you see. Okay, so here's again his disciples. It's not any different than today, 2023. You get people say, oh, well, we're disciples of Jesus. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. And the disciples said, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved by anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son makes you free. You're free indeed. I know you're Abraham's children. Yet you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me. You seek to kill me. Who? The Jews. The Jews. The Jews. The Jews. Verse 31, the Jews. Verse 37, you're seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. My word has no place in you. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me. Again, you're seeking to kill me. And you got government agencies, U.S. government agencies, who say it's anti-Semitic to say that the Jews killed Jesus Christ. Since when is the government agencies involved in theological disputes? Well, I guess some very influential people who call themselves Jews were able to make that happen. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And yet that's forbidden to even talk about in the United States. You can't say that. You can't say that. That's anti-Semitic to imply that a certain group has excess power over a government agency, unless it's whites. Then you can say that all the time. Oh, it's run by the white. No. You can say that and white bash all you want. You're doing the deeds of your father, Jesus Christ says to them. They said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father. Okay, that's the second time they commit an unforgivable sin. All right, the first time is when they told Jesus, you cast out demons by Satan himself. And Jesus said, hey, I cast them out by the finger of God. You're not blaspheming me, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And then here's the second time. How is Jesus Christ conceived? By the Holy Spirit. Here, he says, you're born of fornication. Jesus is like, no, born of the Holy Spirit. There's another blasphemy. All right, two blasphemies. Unforgivable sins. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Oh, but you know, you can't say that. Jesus Christ, yeah, that's what Jesus Christ taught. If God were your father, you would love me. Okay, right there. Stop right there. If God were the father of these people who call themselves Jews, you would love me. But they don't. They don't love Jesus Christ. They tried to murder him. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, said Jesus Christ face to face to the Jews. You will never hear an evangelical pastor say that to a Jew, to his face. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus Christ said to the Jews, to their faces. And your pastors will run for the hills if you hear something. They'll denounce, they'll kick people out of church if they say that. We're against hate in all its forms. I'm telling you, the church has invented an entirely new religion. Jesus Christ said, will I find faith when I come to the earth? Will I find faith when I return? You have your father of the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. You Jews want to do the desires of Satan, is what Jesus Christ is saying. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. And you're his children. You Jews are of your father Satan, and he's a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of lies, and you're his children. Satan is the father of lies, and you're his children. You're liars too. You're all liars. This is who is the liar? But he who denies it, Jesus is the Christ. It all works in concert. It's layered like shingles on a roof. It's not one little verse here and there. It's all over. The identity of the Antichrist is those who reject the Father and Son, and they're liars and they're the Antichrist. And here Jesus Christ is saying to the Jews, you're of your father the devil. You do his deeds. He was a liar and he's the father of lies, and you're the children, so you're the liars. Who is the liar? One who denies the Father and the Son. This is the Antichrist. 1 John 2:22. The Jews answered and said, do we not rightly say that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? All right, we're going to wrap up there. This is the enmity that comes out of Genesis 3, verse 15. This is the hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. If you have a pastor that can't teach this or preach this, here's my recommendation. Fire him. Fire your pastor. Fritz Berger and BloodandFaith.com.